So, my dear faithful, we come to the last day of our recollection in which we've been reflecting upon our vocation as Catholics to suffer with the strength of Christ, that in the difficulties of our life, we are meant to have a supernatural reaction, not a natural reaction. And we've been following the book of Don Hubert von Zeller, the book called Approach to the Crucified, in which he treats the 14 stations of the cross. So we saw the first station, our Lord's condemnation to death, his condemnation to suffering. So we looked at the topic of suffering, the fact that suffering is a part of our life because we live in a world in which sin is present. And so what we must do is not seek to avoid suffering, but rather take the sufferings of our life upon our shoulders, as our Lord did. And then secondly, we saw the third station, the station when our Lord falls for the first time. We considered the question of failure, the fact that we have to experience failure in this life. And once again, we can react to it with a natural reaction, or we can react to it with the reaction of our Lord to take this failure upon ourselves and maintain our peace of soul in the midst of it and offer it to God, and so accomplish the same sorts of things that our Lord accomplished in his passion. So tonight we will look at the seventh station of the cross. Our Lord falls the second time. And Don Zeller entitles that station with the title of discouragement. And this reflection that we will have tonight, it differs from the first two in that suffering and failure are a necessary part of our life. We cannot avoid suffering and failure. It's absolutely impossible for us to avoid them. However, discouragement we will call a temptation, but not a necessity. Discouragement is something you must avoid giving into. The reason why he treats with discouragement with the seventh station is that with the third station, our Lord falls, but he gets back up and he keeps going, but then he falls again. And this is the sort of situation that happens to us time and again in our lives. We're faced with these situations where we're pursuing a certain goal. When it comes to our Lord, he was pursuing the goal of being crucified. He wanted to be crucified for our sins, but he wasn't making it. He was falling down on the way to Calvary. And the temptation is that when you try, and then something goes wrong, and then you try again, and something goes wrong. The temptation is to say, I'm not going to make it. There's no way for me to do this. This is beyond my powers. And that's the moment of discouragement, and it's the beginning of the end if we give in to that discouragement. This is important in everything that we do in our lives, but especially when we are seeking to do something that's difficult. We're seeking to do something that's long-term, especially the question of our vocation, married vocation, or the vocation of the religious state, the vocation of the priesthood. Something I tell the seminarians is that, you know, if you're going along in the seminary, and things are going well, but then all of a sudden you start to think to yourself, because perhaps your grades are not as well as you would like them, you get back your grades, you get back your final exam, you say, oh, I barely passed this course. And there's this temptation, you know, I'm just 3 years, or I'm just 2 years into the seminary. Am I going to be able to make it? And that's the beginning a certain doubt about the grace of God, certain changing of your perspective on this goal you're pursuing. It's a changing perspective in the context of the seminary, because then the seminarian starts to say, I am really the one who's in the position to evaluate my own vocation. I'm the one who's able to decide whether or not I'm able to make it. I'm not going to allow God to make this decision. I'm not going to allow God's providence to direct me in this, but I'm going to do some evaluations on my own. And on the basis of my evaluation, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think I'm going to make it. And if the seminary gives in to that sort of temptation for the seminary, it's really the beginning of the end. Because then he goes through the everyday life of the seminary, which is very intense. And all along, while he's doing all these very involved things, these very intense things, he's thinking to himself, this is too difficult. I don't think I'm going to make it. Why am I doing this? And so on. And you just can't live like that day after day. You can't live like that day after day. Certainly the same in marriage. You know, you can't let discouragement invade your marriage. Marriage can be difficult. There can be conflicts between the spouses. There can be difficulties of raising a Catholic family, of having so many children, what have you. And there's a temptation to say, oh, this is too difficult. God's asking too much of me. Discouragement at its root is a species of self-pity. It's a movement of sympathy for oneself. When we start to say, you know, my life is not fair. It's too hard. This is not the way it should be. It should be a lot easier for me. And so what I need to do is I need to give myself what I deserve. What I'm getting in this life is not what I deserve. So I'm gonna change my life in order to make it a lot easier, which is more at the level of what I can do. There's a certain false humility in that. A certain idea that, well, I just have to be realistic. One thing that I want to mention, especially in this third conference, is I hope that you realize that in talking about all these difficulties of our life in the context of the Passion of our Lord, we're not talking so much about negative things. So we're talking about something positive. These conferences are meant to give you strength, supernatural strength, the strength of Christ in your difficulties. They're especially meant to give you an increase in two virtues: the virtue of hope and the virtue of fortitude. One of the theological virtues and one of the cardinal virtues. And we really need these virtues today as traditional Catholics. It's so easy for us to be, we may say, deficient in the virtue of hope and deficient in the virtue of fortitude. Sometimes traditional Catholics, we know too much. We are one of these sort of countercultural movements. And to be part of a countercultural movement, you've got to know what's wrong with the world. And we know what's wrong with the world, and we've got all this knowledge. And what happens is we know it so much that we begin to despair. We begin to think that really there's no way to fix this world. And as a result, we become a bit frozen in our activities. We start to develop this very naturalistic perspective. It's the wrong reaction to failure. So we saw failure yesterday. Failure has to happen in this world. Any world that has sin has to have failure present. But discouragement does not have to happen. The reaction of discouragement, when you look out, when you go on the internet and you're just digesting this endless flood of bad news, because it's all they report is bad news, and you're on there and it's coming in on you, your natural reaction is to become extremely discouraged. And you're like, there is no way that this world is going to turn around. And just like the seminarian at the seminary who says, there's no way I can make it. The result is the person becomes frozen. They can't move. They're paralyzed. There's no point. You've lost the hope that your activities can have any positive effect. And at that point, you give up. We must fight this temptation, and we must fight it with supernatural means. In this regard, you know, we tend to become a bit like the people who we criticize. You know that the current pontiff, Pope Francis, he's very pessimistic about the ability of grace to transform people. And we must not fall into this temptation. We must believe that the grace of our Lord can transform anything. That if we cooperate with the grace of our Lord in our life, all things are possible. All things are possible in Him who strengthens me. So you have this document, a scandalous document of Pope Francis Amoris Laetitia, in which he effectively says, you know, I mean, realistically, can we really expect spouses to be faithful to one another for their whole life? I mean, really, that's just so difficult. It's so difficult for spouses to be faithful for their whole life. That's asking a bit too much. And so, I mean, if they're in this situation where it didn't work out the first time, and they find someone else, and it's going along great, you know, and they have children and everything, I mean, can we really say, you know, you can't come to communion? Can we really say you need to remain celibate for the rest of your life? Isn't that asking just a bit too much? In the end, our modern age is very much an age of easy defeat. Now, Father Zeller, he wrote this book in the 50s. But that expression, easy defeat, is in his book on the seventh station. He's talking about the seventh station discouragement. He uses the expression, easy defeat. And this is such a common aspect of our modern age. Because all you hear today is about people's rights. You never hear about people's duties. When in the Catholic perspective, your rights come from your duties. God has given you a certain nature, and according to that nature, you have duties, and because He's asked you to do those things, you have a right to do those things. So your right to do things comes from the fact that God has made you to do those things. And you can go to people and say, I have a right to be a Catholic, I have a right to get married or what have you, because God has made me to do those things. So your rights come from your duties. The duties come first. The rights are not something we as human beings create. We just say, guess what, I have a right to this or I have a right to that. So what happens is that we start to evaluate our rights. And we start to say, what's fair for me? What do I deserve in my situation? Instead of evaluating what has God made me to do, what has He asked me to do, and saying, if He's asked me to do this, He will give me the graces to do it. If He's created the structure of the priesthood, He's created this vocation, and He's made it a sacrament, and I enter into this state of life, then I have a right to demand of God every single day of my life the graces that I need and the strength that I need to fulfill my vocation. And it's the same for married couples. If God has created this structure as part of human nature, where a man and woman are meant to come together for life and raise children, then you have the right to demand from God every single day of your life the graces that you need in order to be faithful to that state of life. But when we give in to discouragement, we've given up on the help of God. It's like we don't think that God is there to help us. And we start to create for ourselves sort of a different scenario. What am I really made to do? I'm really made to have a comfortable existence, and I'm not having that right now. I'm really made to, you know, have a very smooth ride in this life, a non-suffering life, a non-failure life. That's what I'm meant to have, and I'm not having that. So I need to redesign my life. I need to have a career change. And this is all our own invention. We start to invent our own reality, our own human nature, instead of following what God has created. So this is what we must avoid. We must avoid losing hope in the grace of God. The grace of God will always be there. You know, as Catholics, what God asks of you. And if you're doing what God asks of you, you can be assured of all the strength that you need to fulfill your mission in life. Now, we see it even goes beyond that. One thing that discouragement does is it kills ambition. And when I use the word ambition, I'm talking about the right kind of ambition, the good kind of ambition, the ambition that's built on this hope where you trust in God, that God has said certain things that he's going to do, and you say, I know he's going to do it. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that he's going to do it. He's going to sustain me in this. So just to give an example, I mean, to consider our context as faithful to Society of St. Pius X, to understand, okay, by coming to a chapel with Society of St. Pius X, I am becoming part of a worldwide movement for the restoration of the Catholic Church, and to see myself as part of that bigger movement, and to want to add my contribution to that movement, and to realize that this struggle is the most important struggle that's going on in our world today. There's no more important struggle than the struggle for the maintenance of the traditions of the Church, the restoration of the Catholic Church, which is the society which informs this world, which leads this world towards God, which has been given the mission by our Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish this population of heaven, this mission of preaching the gospel to all nations. And to say, I want to be a part of that, and I want to do something great for that movement. I really want to do something incredible in my life for that work, something incredible for our Lord. And I know it's going to require of me a very great sacrifice. I know it's going to be difficult. I know there's going to be lots of failures involved. There's going to be lots of suffering involved. But I also know that the grace of God will be there. That there's no question of God not sustaining you. I mean, obviously, if the signs of providence are there, that I, for instance, enter this state of life, having a religious vocation or a priestly vocation, or I get married and I have all the children that God wants to grant me, and I remain faithful to my spouse through that life, and I raise my children to be godly children. We've got to have that ambition, especially in a chapel like this Brisbane chapel. There's so many young people. Young people got to have this ambition. I want to do something for our Lord Jesus Christ in my life, and I know that he's calling me to do something like this. That he didn't put me here just by a mistake, but he's asking me to use these special graces that I've received to give myself as much as I can in this life. So this is the end of my life. I will be able to say, I helped build up your church. I helped build up your mystical body. So it's this sort of ambition, of the right kind of ambition, that leads us to do great things and helps us just defeat that temptation to discouragement. So Father Van Zeller, he gives different causes for discouragement that we must avoid. I've spoken about some of those causes, especially the cause of self-pity. But he speaks also of the cause of weariness, that we might be going on and pursuing a good goal, we're pursuing the things of the life of a traditional Catholic, we're going on, and then at some point, you know, we find it difficult, and we say to ourselves, you know, this is just a bit too difficult for me. And so discouragement comes in, and we give in to the temptation. And he says the discouragement becomes for us an excuse to go on failing. We justify for ourselves this excuse to go on failing. And he compares it to the weeds that grow around the good seed. The good seed is there, but the weeds come and they choke us. So this evil in the world around us, we're just like looking at the evil is everywhere, and we start to become suffocated by the evil. We just feel like, oh, the evil is too much, it's overwhelming me. As if we have to defeat all evil. When in reality, all we have to do is do our duty of state. So we get tired of the struggle, we become weary, everything seems difficult, and we give in to discouragement. And just as I mentioned the other day, and this is something Father Van Zeller mentions in this meditation on the seventh station, it can often come from us living too much in the future or living too much in the past. We look at the past and we say, look at the way things have been going. You know, I tried this before and it didn't work. And so what's the point? Or we look into the future and say, if I want to do this, if I want to do X, then I'm going to have to do all these other things. And all these other things are so difficult. And I just don't think I have the strength to do it. So I'm just going to give up. A man is discouraged, he says, either because he looks back at the past and he sees a sequence of misfortunes, or because he looks into the future and can see no security, happiness, prospects of success. His experience of life has given him these findings, so he feels understandably that life is insupportable. So there's a certain illusion that life is meant to be without difficulty. There's also this illusion that we will not be given help from above in facing our difficulties. And so we tend to give up. But in reality, it's not God that has let us down. To get back to the analogy of the car that I brought up in the first conference, in that conference with respect to using our human nature the way it's meant to be, I said, you know, you gotta use your human nature in the way that God's designed it, or you'll wreck it. If you drive a car off the cliff, you can't call up the car company and say, your car doesn't work. Because, you know, I mean, it's dysfunctional. He said, well, what did you do with it? Well, I drove it off the cliff. I was like, well, you didn't use it in the way it was designed. Well, in this context, we would say, you've got to actually drive the car. If you're a Catholic and you hold to the Catholic faith, you've got to use your Catholic faith. You can't just sit in the car and just sit there and say, this car is absolutely useless. It's not going anywhere. And you call up the company, you say, your car is worthless. It doesn't do anything. And you say, well, I mean, do you have the key in the ignition? You know, I mean, did you actually turn the key? I'm like, well, is that what you're supposed to do? Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, you've got to do that first before the car will take you anywhere. It's the same with the Catholic faith. I mean, have you been in a state of discouragement? Have you fallen on your knees and begged the help of God until that help comes? Have you not refused to hit the panic button, but just try to wait until you reach a state of calm before you make any decisions? Have you been patient in the midst of discouragement and waited things out? Have you called upon, especially have you called upon the help of our Lord and our Lady in the midst of that discouragement in order to strengthen you? You've got to make use of the helps that God provides you. If you don't make use of them, it's not His fault that you can't overcome the discouragement. Sometimes it's going to take a long time. It depends on the nature of the failure, the nature of the trial. Sometimes we have a huge trial. It may take months. It may take years. But we've got to be patient. We can't lose the trust in God that eventually that healing will come or that strength will be restored to us. Tom Zeller mentions the lives of the saints. The lives of the saints are always encouraging for us if we see them as human, seeing them as going through the same struggles that we go through. This is what he says about the lives of the saints. I think it's a bit of a bold statement. But he says, look, they had to go through everything, all of these discouragements that we go through. The saints were not only as divided against themselves interiorly as we are, but they had to go on struggling all their lives against the desire to let the weeds have their way. For most of them, it was a question of grinding out dry, hard acts of faith and hope through clenched teeth. The saints have had to fight every inch of the way against discouragement, defeatism, and even despair. And this is the picture of sometimes how it is in the spiritual life. Let's face it, sometimes in the spiritual life, you won't have the emotions behind your acts of faith. The lower part of your being will not be there. It won't be supporting you. Your emotions, the emotions correspond to the lower part of your being. The emotions are more something bodily, correspond to your passions, which more correspond to your heart rate, to the neurological movements in your brain and so on. That's more the question of emotions. Whereas there's the higher part of your soul, which is your intellect and your will, your purely spiritual faculties, where you can be in a situation where your emotions are not in religion at all. Meanwhile, with your mind, you know that the faith is true. You know that God exists. You know that He's good. You know that He wants to help you. And what Don Zeller is saying is the saints were in this situation all the time. And that in those situations, they did not let their emotions determine their decisions. They did not let their emotions determine what they would do, their behavior. But rather, they always acted upon faith. It was as if those the lower part of their being was being put in a package and put to one side, and they were letting the higher part of their being determine everything. And that's the act of pure faith. That's the most meritorious situation for you. That's when you're united with our Lord in the cross. That's when you're practicing heroic virtue. That's when you advance most. That's when you make the most reparation. That's when you draw down the most graces upon yourself and upon your loved ones. This is part of life, and this is the supernatural solution offered to us. And what this does is that it gives us an opportunity to prove our love for God. We say our vocal prayers all the time. We say to God, I love you. I love you more than myself. I'm sorry for having offended you. I want to never offend you again, and so on. But we don't want those to be empty words. And because we don't want those to be empty words, we want to have an opportunity to prove that we love truly. If things are going well for us, if everything's fantastic, we can doubt whether or not we love truly, we love God truly. But if in the moment of discouragement, in the moment of failure, in the moment when the cross is weighing on us, in the moment where the kids are screaming, you know, the husband says he's going to come home from work late, and the food is burnt on the stove, everything's going wrong. And we turn to God and we offer to Him, we ask Him for the strength that we need. That is a very clear proof that we are not in this for ourselves, that that we love God for himself. There would be no other reason to turn to him in that situation, not to give in to impatience, not to give in to despair, but simply pray to him. So again, this spiritual ambition, not just saying we got to have the ambition to do something for God in this life, but we got to have the ambition to do it through supernatural acts, to go through those difficulties of life and perform supernatural acts when it's most difficult to make them. To have this ambition, yes, at the end of my life, I'll be able to strip my sleeve and say, look at remember that situation? Dear Lord, you remember that situation? Yeah, that was really tough, but I turned to you in that situation. That was clearly a supernatural act at that time. Dom Zeller, he says, courage is not courage until it has experienced fear. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the sublimation of fear. In the same way, perseverance has to be tried by the temptation to give up, by the sense of failure, by an inability to feel the support of grace. And so as we love God more, God's going to be more willing not to give you those consolations, not to allow you to feel that he is supporting you, in order to enable you to prove that you love him truly. And these are the things that we must treasure. And we must be willing for the whole of the emotional part of our being to be unsupportive of us pursuing what the higher part of our being dictates. The higher part of it being reason and faith. This is what we must be willing to do. We must be willing to carry the heavy cross as well as the light cross. So, Dom Zeller points out that this strategy in facing discouragement is a very different strategy from the way the world would face discouragement. He looks at the Stoics and the Buddhists, all right, compared to Catholics when each of them are facing some sort of difficulty. He says, what the Stoics do, you know, the Stoics were these Roman philosophers who Romans were just like tough soldiers, tough engineers, they wanted to be super tough. So what they would do is when they were experiencing pain, they would try everything they could do not to manifest that pain outwardly. So don't show your weakling by manifesting the pain outwardly. You're feeling it on the inside, but you don't manifest it on the outside. So the Buddhist, what the Buddhist tries to do when the Buddhist experience pain is not only not to manifest pain outwardly, but also to suppress pain inwardly, to somehow reach a state of nothingness wherein you're totally cut off from reality. So the yoga type meditation tries to enable you to cut yourself off from reality totally, so you don't feel anything anymore. And they call this a state of bliss, when in fact, you're completely shut down. At the point you have no contact with reality anymore. So the Stoics feels the pain but doesn't manifest it. The Buddhist doesn't manifest the pain and doesn't feel the pain. That's their solution to suffering in this life. Neither of these are the Catholic solution to suffering. We accept the fact that we are suffering on the inside, and we know why there's suffering. It's because of the reality of sin. And we don't hesitate to manifest it on the outside, but we don't manifest it in the way of a weakling. We don't manifest it in the sense that we want to run from it and escape from the suffering. But we manifest it in the sense that we cry out to God, we cry out to our Lord and our Lady to assist us in the suffering, and then we adjust that cross on our shoulder, and we keep moving ahead. We acknowledge the fact of the suffering, we acknowledge the fact that it hurts, we ask for the strength that we need, and then we keep going. That's the Catholic way to deal with the cross. And in doing that, that's how we avoid discouragement. That act wherein we've asked God to strengthen us, gives us this hope, is an assertion of our hope, of our trust, that he will sustain us in our difficulties. Dom Zeller says, a man cannot deny discouragement any more than he can deny his existence. It is part of his existence. All he can do is deny himself the luxury of discouragement. He can mortify his tendency to self-pity. So when this movement comes, when we feel ourselves overwhelmed by these difficulties and we have this temptation to give up, we mortify the desire to give in to the self-pity. I will not allow myself to give in to self-pity, to seek some sort of outlet, to seek some sort of escape from my duty of state or for the difficulties of my life, but I will call upon the help of God, and I will not stop at the seventh station, but I will go all the way up to the 12th station, even all the way to the 14th station. I want to make it all the way. We have to think about the perseverance that our Lord manifested. You know, sometimes the difficulty we find facing discouragement is that we know that we can find an easy escape. The easy escape is right at our fingertips. It's right there. And that's what makes it so tempting. We have all of these comforts today that are so easily available. And society is telling us that we have a right to these comforts. You have a right to leave your husband or wife. If you don't want the child in your womb, don't worry. You have a right to eliminate that pregnancy, or whatever it may be, whatever difficulty you have. You're not obliged to face difficulty. You're not meant to suffer in this life. There's no order that God has established in which he's bound himself to strengthen you in. So just take the easy way out. You have a right to it. That's what the world is saying to you. But we have to realize that that's the same thing that was true for our Lord. You know, in the garden, when St. Peter, in his act of bravado, you know, St. Peter was going to slay the minions of the enemy. He only got to cut off one ear. So we expect that he wouldn't have been very well in the resulting battle. But our Lord says to him, don't you realize that the Father could give me 12 legions of angels? You know, a legion was a unit of the Roman army, 6,000 soldiers. The Father gave me 72,000 angels just like that, if I wanted to. And our Lord himself just flattened them, just like, which is just the word. He just said something. He said, I am he. Boom. They just flattened to the ground. At any point in the way to Calvary, our Lord could have said, I've done enough. You know, I mean, I have suffered my agony, suffered the scourging, suffered the crowning of thorns. We're here at the seventh station. I think that's good. I think that's, yeah. He did not do that because he wanted to follow the will of the Father. The Father willed for him to be crucified. The Father willed for him to be dead and buried in the tomb. And he wanted the will of the Father. His meat was to do the will of the Father. And that's what we've been saying to you all along in these conferences. God has created an order for human beings. And that order is your happiness. Fulfilling the will of God is your happiness in this life. It's going to involve suffering. It's going to involve failure. It's going to involve the temptation of discouragement. But the fact that God has created this order, and this is the only order, he's the only one who's in charge of reality. You've only got one choice. There are two choices. Either you follow that order that he's created and you find happiness in this life, or you reject that order and you are miserable. And we must see as well that going through these difficulties with the strength of God brings you to your perfection as a human being. We remain stunted as human beings if we do not develop the skill to carry the cross, if we go through life running from the cross, not facing discouragement, giving in to self-pity throughout our life, if we are not strong, we are miserable. We are very unhappy people. There's something about sacrifice that fulfills us. There's something about giving ourselves in this life that makes us very happy. Something about coming out of struggles, sort of scarred, but having survived by the grace of God, there's something about that that makes us a much better, a much more complete, a much happier person. This is an entire package, because what we're dealing with is both the natural and the supernatural level at the same time. We're both talking about the way that God has designed us as human beings, and also the way he's placed on top of that a supernatural order, the order of grace. And both of them work in harmony. So what we want to do is we want to reach a state in our lives where we are totally invulnerable. We absolutely cannot be conquered by anything that life throws at us, because it's no longer we who live, but it's Christ who lives in us. We're somehow living the life of Christ. And so if suffering comes to us, if failure comes to us, if we're tempted by discouragement, none of these things seem to have power over us. Just like those martyrs facing their persecutors. And the persecutors were trying to find ways to destroy them. How do I defeat them? How do I rip the faith out of their hearts? And there was nothing they could do against them. The worst threats, the worst torments, no suffering that they inflicted on these people was able to take the faith out of their hearts. And this is how we likely will not be called to have a bloody martyrdom, but we do have the daily martyrdom. And yes, if we are able to live our life wherein we have a supernatural reaction to these things, there's absolutely nothing that can overcome us. We will be able to suffer with the strength of Christ, and because Christ is God, there is nothing that can defeat him. So this is what I want to encourage you to take away from this recollection, and when in the next 3 days during the Triduum you contemplate the passion of our Lord, especially focus on his strength, the fortitude of our Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of his sufferings, how he behaved. Consider what his mentality was. His desire to go through these sufferings for the will of the Father, the self-sacrifice, the mercy he was exercising towards others, the strength that he exhibited in all of these sufferings that he had to go through. And then for yourself, ask for this virtue, these two virtues. Ask our Lord for the virtue of hope, so there'll never be a situation in your life when you think that he will abandon you, or you will say, it's no point for me to ask for the strength I need. And also ask for this virtue of fortitude, where you will have the strength to bear the crosses that God wants to give to you, the crosses of suffering, the crosses of failure, and the temptation to discouragement.